And this is ultimately how we know God is good all the time. Amen? Because we see His track record. We know that God is good for every one of His promises because He's shown us in the past that He's good for all of His promises. We've been talking about the cross in the Old Testament. We've taken a break from our regular thing in Joshua, and we're leading up to the cross here, and we're looking at different ways that God expressed what He was going to do in the future. That, guys, this wasn't just an afterthought. God wasn't up there, as I've said before, wringing His hands saying, "Oh no, they won't straighten up. I don't know what I'm going to do." No, God had a plan. And His plan was carried out exactly the way He intended to. And guys, I'm just going to tell you, as I shared last week, it made such difference to me whenever I saw that it had been written literally hundreds or even 1,000 years beforehand. And it happened exactly as He said. Because it reminds me that this Bible is truly real. It is our guide. This is divine, guys. This is not just a human book. This is God's book. And God used how many different authors? 40 different authors. How many different books are in there? How many? 66 different books. And we see a thread. It's called the scarlet thread. It's that of Jesus from one end to the other, guys. I'm telling you, there's still some stuff in here that has yet to happen. But just like everything from before happened, just like He said it was going to happen, everything after is going to happen, just like He said it's going to happen. And so just like we know that Jesus came the first time to fulfill what God had already planned for Him to fulfill, we know Jesus is going to come again. And so that's our hope. And guys, if we can't believe this, we have no hope. And so I just want you to be encouraged to know you can believe it. Base your life on it. Let's do it. Let's do what it says. Amen? And so as we go along through the Old Testament looking for images of the cross, I mean, they're all over the place, but I'm just picking some ones that are just really right there before your eyes, exactly, recognizably, exactly what Jesus came to do. And I want you to understand, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, was written some 690 years before Christ ever came into the body of a man. Or even the way we keep time. You all do realize that the way we keep time is based on when Christ entered this earth. Okay? Now Christ, I want you also to understand that Christ wasn't created. Okay? He is co-eternal with the Father, but there was a point in time where He entered into this world, into the body of a man. It's called the incarnation. Okay? So there was a time before that, and even in that time before that, we can see that Jesus was spoken about. And so today we're going to be looking at especially at Isaiah 53, but we're going to start in 52, verse 13. So if y'all want to open your Bibles, we're going to read from Isaiah 52, verse 13, all the way through chapter 53 to verse 12. So give you a moment to get open, because some like to follow along, some like to just listen. There's no right or wrong, just any way that you can experience the Word today. I want you to be able to experience the Word today. Okay? This wasn't just written to some people a long time ago and now the significance is over. No, guys, this is written for our benefit today as well. It tells us that clearly in the New Testament. So let's look at Isaiah 52, verse 13 and on. "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." So like his appearance, guys, was marred. Why is that? Who is this speaking of? It's speaking of Jesus. You know, he was just, before he went to the cross, he was beaten beyond recognition. That's what it's speaking of here. 690 years before it happened. He says, "So shall he sprinkle many nations." What's he going to sprinkle them with? Blood. Cleanse. "Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before them as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It wasn't his physical appearance that was going to make people want to follow him. And that was purposely by God. What does a root that springs up out of dry ground? It's like a surprise, isn't it? When you see dry ground and all of a sudden there's a plant growing there, that would be unnatural. Do you know for 400 years before Jesus came, the incarnation, God never spoke a word through his prophets. The ground was so dry, and there are writings from the Jewish people saying, how long, O Lord, are you just going to be silent forever? Are you just never going to speak to us again? They were hurting. They were destitute. They were desiring a word from God. And out of that dry ground, Jesus came forth. He goes on to say, he is despised and rejected in verse 3 by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Are you going through sorrows then today? Or you have been, or you're going to? I want you to know, Jesus understands. He was a man of sorrows. He felt it all, guys. He says, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. What did they say about him when he was hanging on the cross? Man, what did this guy do to deserve this? If God would allow him to be hurt, he says it's his Father. Look at him. What did he do? No, he didn't do a thing, guys. That was our punishment he was taking. And the Bible's saying it all the way back here, 690 years before Jesus was ever known on earth. He says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Point at yourself. He was wounded for our transgressions, guys. It was my sin that he was wounded for. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Does it leave any exception in there? Most we like sheep have gone astray. Almost all like we... No, we have all gone astray. He says, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressors of my people he was stricken. There always comes up all these crazy notions that maybe Jesus got married and had children. You know why we don't read about that in the New Testament? Because it didn't happen. It says it right here in Isaiah 53 that he wasn't going to have a generation after him because he was here to do one thing, that was the will of the Father. And he was going to save a people for himself, and his generation is going to be without number in heaven, amen? It's going to be multitudes upon multitudes of people like you and me who've accepted Jesus, if you too have accepted Jesus. You are his offspring. He said, and it goes on in verse 9, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. What kind of tomb was he laid in? It was a rich man's tomb, wasn't it? Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You remember in the garden he said, Father, if there's any way for this to pass by me, but not my will, your will be done. Why would it please the Father to bruise his son like that? That always was very puzzling to me. It almost seemed out of character for God, didn't it? Because there was a chastisement that had to be given. And the chastisement was too severe for us. Guys, it meant eternity separated from God. We sinned against an eternal God. The punishment is an eternal punishment. So, guys, I want you to understand something. The reason why I pleased God to do it unto him was so that it wouldn't be eternal on us. You see, it was for a moment with Jesus. Because Jesus was perfect and undeserving. For us, it would be forever. God don't want to do that. He is not pleased with the death of the wicked. And so it pleased him to bruise Jesus. He put on him, and he has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. See, an offering for sin. He became sin who knew no sin, the scripture says, the New Testament, that we might become the righteousness of God. It's a beautiful thought, isn't it? He shall see his seed. Remember, he didn't have offspring, but his offspring's for the future. He's patient. He doesn't want his immediate gratification. He's willing to wait. He's teaching us something. And so he took the bruises. He took all that pain, and he allowed himself to be nailed to that cross, not deserving it, never opened his mouth to defend himself one time, because as he went, he was paying the price for us. And then he would have literally a multitude. Myriads upon myriads is what it says. It's a number that we can't number. Guys, it's fulfillment to the promise to Abraham. If you could count the stars in the sky, that's how many your offspring will be. And this was fulfilled right here in the scripture. And then in the life of Jesus, it was done. And when he said on the cross, "It is finished," he meant that very thing. The atonement was finished once and for all. And everybody who comes to Christ is the seed that's being spoken of. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, all those who come to him, right? For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide a portion. I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Guys, I'm just going to tell you something. This sounds more like an eyewitness account than a word from God 690 years beforehand. Amen? I mean, it's just like somebody standing there looking at the crucifixion, looking at the life of Jesus, knowing the whole story, and then reporting on it. But that's our God. That's our God. And I'll just be honest with you. There was a time, guys, when I thought this had to be written after Jesus died. Because it's just too perfect. I didn't believe in the power of God. I really did not trust that God was able to see things that... Don't ask me why. It's my small mind. Okay? And I'm very skeptical, and I admit it last week. I am a show-me state guy. If you want me to believe something, you got to show it to me. You know what I'm saying? And so maybe there's one person out there, just one other person who can relate to me on this. Maybe not. I may be just preaching to myself this morning. But guys, for that to be written in that word that perfectly... I was so skeptical, I thought it would have had to have been written after Jesus died. Because you see, I wasn't there. I know I look old, but I was not around 2,000 years ago. Okay? Neither were any of us, right? If you were there 2,000 years ago, you saw the cross and you could report on it, raise your hand. Obviously, nobody raised their hand. And so, age things are a joke in our church, by the way, for those that are visiting. So, everybody's really behaving themselves well today. But what we understand from this, guys, is I wasn't there to see it, but there was somebody who was there beforehand who told it, and it was God. And I can tell you what really proved that to me. Okay?
So like, just in case, I thought, just in case maybe you're thinking it could have been changed through the years, like after it happened to Jesus, I want you to understand something. They found something called the Great Isaiah Scroll, okay, and it was sealed in a cave in a place called Qumran, okay, and they found a lot of other fragments of the scriptures, and some of them dated way back. They were from a people called the Essenes. The Essenes wanted to be a spiritually pure people, and they wanted to preserve copies of the scriptures so they couldn't get changed, and that was their whole reason for doing this. So they put this this big collection. It was an entire library of the Old Testament scriptures back in these caves to protect them. And they have this great Isaiah scroll that was perfectly preserved. It's the best preserved Old Testament scripture. It was 1,000 years older than anything else they had ever touched or looked at. And it was from 100 to 300 years before Christ is where they dated, just by the very material that it's made of. Okay? And it was sealed. And I'm just going to tell you, it reads over 99% exactly the same as the chapter I just read to you from the scripture today. It is so perfectly accurate. The only differences that you will find are differences in connecting words, because in the Hebrew, they didn't always necessarily use a connecting word to connect the thoughts. And in English, we do. But whenever they took this out and they compared it to the Isaiah, the entire book of Isaiah, and including Isaiah 53 passage, which we just read about the crucifixion, it reads almost 100% absolutely perfect with it. I think it's like 99.7% exactly the same, and none of the content is changed by the wording. I'm just going to tell you guys, whenever I read that, I was astounded. I am encouraged. I am blessed. And I am a firm believer in the scriptures. And this helps. Proof helps. You know, you're supposed to worship God with your mind. Remember what it says? To worship God, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Give Him everything, guys. And if you got a doubt, take it to the cross. Ask God. He can help you. Has anybody ever lived that didn't doubt? I don't think so. So this whole library was by a group of people who wanted to keep things pure, keep the scriptures pure. And their whole purpose was to preserve this. And I thank God today that they did. Because I'm just going to tell you guys, I haven't even a shadow of doubt in my mind that Jesus came and did exactly what we know that He did. He can save you just like He saved me. He can save your neighbor that looks so far from God just like He saved us. And I'm going to tell you why. Because He's the one who completed what we just read in the book of Isaiah. He fulfilled it perfectly. He fulfilled it perfectly. He didn't go to that cross for Himself. He was sinless. He didn't deserve to die. We do. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of life, gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus paid the price. He paid your price. Have you accepted His payment? Have you turned your life over to Christ? I pray you have. If you haven't, don't be embarrassed about it. We all got to start somewhere, amen? If you haven't, maybe you thought you had and you just realized you haven't, don't be so proud as to miss salvation today. We just need to submit ourselves to the will of God and accept His forgiveness today. Let's pray. Dear Father, we're going to just offer up this time, Lord, to You. In the books of the prophets, You told us that the reason why You told things beforehand was so that when it came to pass, we would know it was You who did it. And so here we are, Lord. We're reading it. From 700 years before You even came onto the scene of living in a man's body on earth, it was told exactly what was going to happen to You on that cross. And it was going to tell exactly why You went. And exactly what You completed. And Lord, lo and behold, without a doubt, some 700 and probably 29 years later, You completed that very act on the cross. So we praise You today Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Just as you said, you've never lied to us, and you're not going to start now. You have never broken a promise, and you're not going to start now. Your Bible has never lied to us, and it's not going to start now. That is your divine word, and we praise you for it today. Lord, since you did exactly what you said you was going to do, that means that you're the only offering that's acceptable for sin. None of us lived a perfect life. I couldn't die for anybody in this room to save their eternal souls. The price is too high. And I deserve to die for myself. But Lord, when you gave your life, it was the ransom for all of us. So let us give our lives to you. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. And it says that we should partake it in a worthy manner. And I've had a lot of people ask me, what's a worthy manner? A worthy manner, I am totally convinced, is a heart of someone that is repentant before you, that has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and has begun to follow you in obedience. So Lord, let us check our own hearts today, because it says that if we are unwilling and we partake of this in an unworthy manner, we're bringing judgment on ourselves. So, Lord, I don't want to see anybody do that today. This will be here for every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ today. So I pray we'd examine our hearts. Repent of any sin that we may be aware of in our life by turning away from it and turning to God today. That goes for even the believers, Lord. Help us have a cleansed heart before you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand and sing.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come every doubt and fear. Into my heart I pray. You that I'm still seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Purge me from every sin. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me to my heart, oh, speak to my heart, speak to my heart, I pray. You that I'm still seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, it is no longer mine. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, I will be wholly thine. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart, speak to my heart, I pray. You that I'm still seeking thy will, oh, speak to my heart today. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear. Speak to my heart, oh, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, I pray.
Praise God. And I do pray that as God speaks to our hearts, we will respond. You know, he don't just speak into our ears, does he? He speaks into our hearts. And so I pray you've heard from the Lord today. Let's all have a seat right now. We are going to partake of the Lord's Supper now. And so all those that are going to help in the distribution